You're listening to KPIN Pinedale. This is Karen. We're getting ready to have a candidate forum out at the Sublette Center, out at the Senior Center in Marbleton. So I'm going to hand it over to Bob. Bob, are you there?
Yes, Karen, we're here live at the Senior Center, about to begin the forum. This is the second of two forums that we've conducted jointly amongst the news media. But right now I'm just talking on the radio. I think I'm going to go up to the main podium and announce our moderator, and we'll get this thing rolling here. So I'm not going away. I'll be right back. I'll just be on a different mic, and let's hope this thing still works.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, here's Bob out at the candidate forum.
There we go. Hey, good evening. We want to welcome everybody on the radio audience, also on the internet audience that will be listening later by way of recording, and, of course, everybody here in Marbleton at the Senior Center for the second of two, which the news media have jointly put together, the news media being the Pinedale Roundup, the Sublette Examiner, PinedaleOnline.com, and KPIN Radio. This forum is being broadcast live, and after it has been broadcast within a day or two, you'll be able to find a recording of this forum on PinedaleOnline.com. If you missed the last one, go to PinedaleOnline.com. In the upper right corner is a little pink box, and you can click on the sound for the forum and listen to the last one. This one will also be up there within maybe a day or two. Now, tonight's forum consists of the rural healthcare district candidates. We'll be hearing from them. In fact, I should invite them right now to start taking their places up at the table so they'll be ready to go. I am not your moderator. I am your electrical engineer hooking up the microphones. Betty Fear is the moderator. Betty Fear, of course, used to be our county commissioner, one of our county commissioners. Right now she's on the Board of Trustees of the University of Wyoming, and she's got the rather difficult job of helping to pick a new president of the University of Wyoming. So she's been doing a lot of work. We asked her to be the moderator tonight, and she agreed to, and we're glad to have her. Now, just for the benefit of people wanting to submit questions, here is how it's going to work. If you're listening out on the radio right now and you want to ask a question of these candidates, please email it to forum@pinedale.com. That's F-O-R-U-M at pinedale.com. And right now, while we're getting started, you might indicate if your question is for the healthcare candidates or if it is for the county commissioner candidates, so we know which candidates to give it to. After we have had the healthcare candidates, we'll then switch over to county commissioners. About two-thirds of this forum will be healthcare, one-third will be county commissioners. Now, the method of asking questions sounds a little goofy at first, but we did this last time, and doggone it, it worked out quite well. And this is that we're going to ask each candidate a question, and the first two candidates will answer the question. Then we're going to introduce a new question. Here's where it gets tricky. The third candidate not only gets to answer the new question, but can also comment on the first question following this. And then by the time it gets to the fifth candidate, you've now got three questions you can talk about. And once we get this thing going, it's kind of like there will be three questions on the table at all time. You can kind of pick and choose which topic you're interested in. You might want to make some notes to yourself so you don't forget what the three questions are. And when we're done, we're going to have closing statements. And we apologize, all of us, forgot closing statements last time, and our apology for that. That was not the way it was planned last time, but we will for sure. If we don't have closing statements, please yell, wave your hand, say closing statements, something, and we'll get the closing statements on. Well, tell you what, let's bring Betty Fear up. Betty Fear is our moderator tonight for this forum. Thank you, Betty.
Thanks, Bob. That was generous of you. And you kind of stole my thunder here. Can you all hear me? Okay, I am the messenger. I didn't set up the format for this forum, nor do I know any of your questions. I am simply going to tell who when to talk. I would like to remind you all at this time to please turn off your cell phones if they're on. This is being broadcast live, and we don't need any excessive outside noise. I'm going to give you, I think Bob kind of told you what the ground rules are. This is a forum. It is not a debate. No live questions can come from the audience. If you have questions that you would like to have submitted, there are cards around the room, or if you raise your hand, we'll see that you get a card. Give the cards to the newspapers, and they will answer the questions as we have time for them. And Bob has already stated that we will have a two-minute wrap-up at the end. I guess, as we're going on, you might find that I'm announcing the names way more times than you need to if you're sitting here in the room. But it's important that the people who are listening on the radio know who is talking. And if you have listened to one of these on the radio, you will understand that sometimes you don't know who it is that's speaking. So if I say a name several times, don't think I've lost my mind. I'm just reiterating for everyone. Okay, let me introduce the candidates. You can read, certainly. But we have for the Rural Health Board candidates, Donnie Toth, Kristen Rourke, Mandy Norris, Brent Fowler, Shannon Cave. Thank you all for being here, and I think we're ready to go. Are you ready? Okay. Have I forgotten anything? Okay, I think, Megan, you and Joy are going to ask the questions. So we'll start at that end of the table with Donnie and with Donnie.
Okay. Okay, so the first question for Donnie and Kristen is going to be a budgetary question. The Rural Health Care District has an operating budget of $2.5 million, or thereabouts. And with revenues possibly to decrease as they are around the entire state, sort of how would you go about budgetary cuts, and what would you propose cutting in an operational budget if so 8 to 10% of a cut would be, you know, upwards of $1 million out of that?
There it is. Thank you. Yes, this is going to be something that we're going to have to be addressing in the near future. Is a cut in the mill levy because revenues are down throughout the county. We need to work on this collaboratively with the board and the providers and the staff at the EMS and at the clinics. It's not something we can do unilaterally. We have to all work together to look at where we can make cuts. On the other side of the budget sheet, we need to look at where we can increase revenues. There are monies available at the state. For example, if we were to become part of the hospital preparedness plan, which we are eligible to do, there would be monies there available for us. The foundation has been established to help us with gathering monies, and they are in the process of writing some grants that might be another source of income for us. So we need to research and look at all sides of that budget sheet, the cutting some where we can, and then looking at other revenue sources also to balance the budget.
Same question.
Okay. Kristen Rourke is going to be answering the next question, and she can take the new question or Donnie's the question that Donnie Toth just answered.
Same question.
Isn't that what I said? 2-2. Okay.
I'm Chris Rourke, and I know quite a few of you. I've cared for you in either Pinedale Clinic or Big Piney Clinic. Donnie pretty much named it. Our mill levy amount is going to be going down as of next year, it's my understanding. Also, dependent on what happens federally, Medicare reimbursement will be going down, even though there will be, in our communities, there will be no less quality to Medicare care. Donnie did mention the foundation. I have a pet peeve about the foundation and had gone to a meeting, a healthcare board meeting. We have given the foundation $230,000. We've gotten back in 3 years approximately $20,000. Getting information on the books wasn't easy, but those are the figures that I did gather. I don't believe that's a good bargain for us. If I'm elected, I'm going to propose that we give no more money to the foundation. They've had plenty of seed money. They're very welcome to continue trying to write grants and to get money for health care in this county, but I don't think we've gotten our money's worth with the foundation. We need to look at every contact. We need to look at every expenditure, whether it's medication, salaries, contracts with services folks and things like that, and find the waste. And I'm a real tightwad, and I will work closely with the budget folks in the county and try to find places that we can cut the budget so that we don't have to cut anything from our health care.
Thank you. Am I on? Thank you. That was Chris Rourke answering that question. Mandy Norris has the next question.
Okay. The question I have is, what health services not currently offered would you like to see the district provide or expanded? For example, what about getting specialists here more regularly?
Am I on? I'm Mandy Norris. I've been in the Pinedale Medical Clinic for 20 years in the past. We tried to get in some specialists, and it's very hard with the small community. I would like to see us continue with what we have going right now. It's pretty hard to get a lot of specialists in this small community, I'll tell you. But I understand they are looking into some specialists from Salt Lake in that, and if we have the opportunity to allow them to come here, I think it would be great. It's very hard for people to have to travel out of the community for medical services, and the more that we can bring to them in our community, I'm all for.
Thank you, Mandy. That was Mandy Norris. Brent Fowler will answer the next question, or the same question.
Okay, can I answer the first question? That's okay, right? I'm from Big Piney, Marbleton area. I've been living around this community for 27 years. I'm not an original person, but I have some concerns or I wouldn't be running for this board. One of the things on the budget part of it, one that I've learned, is I don't know if you as the county people know that we spend as much money on EMTs as we do the clinics. But our EMT rates, you know, we don't have any more EMT emergency call-outs than we did 10 years ago. And the way that their schedule runs, if they work 2 days on, they get 48 hours. They get 40 hours of regular time and 8 hours of overtime. In actuality, some of our EMTs make more money than our nurses do. And so that's one of the items that I'm going to look at real closely is if maybe there's a way to run that schedule a little bit different and use less amount of people to do it with. If the nurses can do it on call out, I think the EMTs can too. And that's where I'm at on the budget part. I think that would help us tremendously if we could start calling in where there's waste, and I think that's one of the wastes.
Thank you, Brent. That was Brent Fowler. The next question goes to Shannon Cave.
So the next question is, what can be done or what role can the board play in attracting and retaining doctors to the district as a whole?
Hi, I'm Shannon Cave, and I'd like to take part of a couple of the other questions before I answer. I wholeheartedly agree with Chris about the foundation. If we're not going, you know, if we're going to have to deal with cuts, it should be in that area. Without, of course, affecting anyone's care. Never to affect anyone's care. On attracting doctors to here, I think that the community as a whole, we've added in here in Marbleton the flicks and pens, which is helpful to try to attract people coming to this area. I think if we promote all of the resources, the hunting, the fishing, the people, for one, I would just like to aggressively pursue to get doctors, medical staff, period, that will come and stay and not be run off. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. That was Shannon Cave. Now we do a new question back to Donnie, I believe. Same question. Same question. Do you remember the question, Donnie?
It was about retaining physicians,
okay.
if I remember correctly.
Donnie Toth is answering this question.
Yeah, it seems like we've had quite a turnover in the last little while in our physicians, especially in Marbleton. I'd like to look into why that is. As a board member, I'd like to research what the problems are and see how we can address those issues. We have some wonderful opportunities for physicians, and we have a great model for them to under which they practice that I think is very advantageous for them. I'm just not sure why they're leaving so quickly, but we have, you know, the wonderful sporting opportunities, the outdoors, the beautiful location here, many of them have sought in coming here. So it's something that we definitely need to look into, we've got a new physician coming in. I believe she begins tomorrow. And we'll be meeting her in the next few days, in the next few weeks. So I hope we can encourage her to stay and continue to recruit and retain top-notch, well-qualified, and competent healthcare providers and staff also. So it's just something that we're going to have to look into, I think, and do some research about, you know, why it is we haven't been able to keep our people. In my last 30 seconds here, I want to address a previous question, and that is what services I think would need to be added to the services that we provide to the county, and one of them is mental health. We have a very, very good Pine Creek Behavioral Health program, and they have some wonderful counselors and social workers there, but we don't have any we don't have a psychiatrist. They do have contact with a nurse, a psychiatric nurse, but there, in particular, there's no mental health services for children.
Thank you, Donnie. That was Donnie Toth speaking. You ready? Okay. The next question is for Chris Rourke again. And it will be asked by Joy Eifert of the Sub's Examiner.
Okay. We had a few questions come in before the forum about transparency and public input into processes of the Rural Health Care District. And I was wondering if you support posting the budget, payroll, and expenditures like other county agencies do, other county boards do.
Absolutely.
One of the things, I wrote myself a couple little reminder notes. I think if you're a county employee and you are making your living on county tax money, the taxpayers need, they have the right to know what you're getting paid. I would suggest that we will have an annual state of the district, the healthcare district, that will be mailed out like the county commissioners do. I like their format. Gives a lot of information. How much do we spend on personnel? How much do we spend on new equipment? I'm much in favor for that. I don't think that anything that we spend should be hidden in a corner or published in an obscure publication or anything of the sort to try to hide from what we've spent. I also think that some of the meetings we should have more questions from the public after talking about a subject that we're going to vote on, a new policy change. I believe that the public should be able to have some input before we take that vote. It doesn't seem like it's been so. I'm not trying to step on anybody else's toes, but we do need to have more transparency, and the only thing that we would do behind closed doors is discuss personnel issues that I think by law have to be discussed with not in public. Everything else, as far as I'm concerned, is on the table.
Thank you, Chris. That was Chris answering that question, and next will be Mandy Norris answering the same question.
Okay. I totally agree with Chris. I think that the public needs to be involved in everything that goes on. No more closed doors things. I think that all the salaries and everything, if it's coming out of our county taxes, needs to be publicized. I feel like our meetings need to be very open door, and everybody in the community needs to be allowed to speak, regardless if we're happy with it or not. We're all a community. We all need to come together, and everybody needs a chance to speak.
Thank you. That was Mandy Norris answering that question. Our next speaker will be Brent Fowler, and I believe a new question will be posed.
Excuse me. Yes. This is I'm going to combine a couple of questions here. This might have been a question to start with, but why are you running for the board, and what do you see your role as a board member being?
That's a really good question. One reason I'm running for the board is I'm a concerned citizen. We've lost four doctors, several nurses in the last 3.5 years. And I really attribute a lot of that to is there's a lot of discussion out there that says there's a rift between Pinedale and Big Piney Marbleton. I don't think there's a rift between the Pinedale Clinic and the Big Piney Marbleton Clinic at all. I think the rift is between the new administration and Big Piney Clinic. And I'm getting that straight from the doctors' mouths who left. So the doctors that left are friends of ours. They were in our community, very, very active in our community, and they just couldn't see eye to eye, so they just finally left. Talking about what's going to go on, I brought this up many times, and friends of mine said, are you running for the board? And I said, no. And they said, then why are you talking about it? Because you can't do anything about it unless you're on the board. So I'm running for the board. I want to do something about it. I want to find out why we can't keep our doctors. I want to know why our budgets always seem to go open. And you can't do this as a concerned citizen. You have to be able to go in and get behind those doors and find out exactly what's going on in there. And that's my purpose for running. I'm here for the citizens of this county, and I live in the south of the county. I'm not real sure what happens in the north. I don't go to those clinics. Been there for an MRI. But I know in the south we've got some serious problems, and we need to get them straightened out, along with the budget. And there should be no secrets out there.
Thank you, Brent. Again, that was Brent Fowler. Shannon Cave is the next speaker, and Shannon, you have the question that Brent just answered, or one of the other ones.
I'm more than happy to answer that question. The reason that I am running is also I'm very concerned. My main concern is who is controlling everything. I would like to be on the board to, I'm just going to be truthful here, I would like to see the removal of CEO Rob Harding, and I believe once that's accomplished, all the other issues will fall into place. And there you have it.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Cave. Then we're going back to Donnie for a new question. And I think Megan Neary, you're going to ask that question. Or Joy.
Oh, okay. Well, interestingly, the question I had next was, should the rural health care director be required to live in Sublette County?
I'd rather answer the why I'm running question. Playing a little bit politics here. Actually, I'm running because I have to. I had a sore throat a few weeks ago, and I went to one of the docs, and he wrote me out a prescription, and he said, okay, Donnie, I'm going to give you this prescription under one condition. You have to promise to run for the board. So I had to. I'd still have a sore throat. So anyway, in all seriousness, though, I'm going to steal a line from Anna from the forum last week. I'm running because I care. She cares about education. I care about health care. I've been a health care professional my whole adult life. I have a master's degree in nursing administration. I have a PhD in nursing informatics. I was a flight nurse in the Air Force Reserve for 23 years, and healthcare is my profession and it's my passion. I really care about maintaining the excellent healthcare that we have here in Sublette County, adding the services that we need. One of them I mentioned is mental health, the other is family planning. Wyoming is the 15th in the nation with teenage pregnancies. Sublette County is 11th in the state. So I think we need that service also. I'm also running because I really think I can make a difference. With my experience and my background, I'm going to work hard for the health district and make it the best that it can possibly be. And with the expensive health care, and we need to make it as efficient and as effective as it can possibly be. Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie. Chris, you get the same question if you want it.
I'll answer that question that was just read. One of my primary reasons for running for the board is that I would like to see all major managers, CEO, CFO, director of nursing, lab, x-ray, everybody who makes policy for the people that work in the clinic and clinics, and also the people of Sublette County, I feel should live here, have their kids in school here, face you in the grocery store. If you're mad at them, you get to tell them about it. I've lived here for 20-some years. I went to work for Doc Johnston, and he was a National Geographic as the only doctor in the whole county way back when. And people tend to trust people that they know are neighbors who pay taxes, buy things in our county, pay, vehicle tax, and I truly believe, and I will propose that, should I get elected.
Mandy Norris, you'll be next, and I think it's time for a new question.
Yes. The next question
Are you satisfied with the current lease arrangement between the district and the county in terms of building ownership and operation?
I'm going to go back to whether or not we're happy with the CEO and those type of people living out of county. I am very adamant that any administration in the clinic system needs to live in the county. When they are wanted and needed, they need to be there. We don't want to have to call them on the phone and not get a returned phone call. When they're needed, people need to talk. The county is paying. It's our taxes that are being spent on this, and we deserve to have the people when we need them. And what was the other question?
The question was about the lease arrangement between the county and the clinics. Gosh, it was a year and a half ago, when the county decided to charge rent to the healthcare district for the buildings, because the county actually owns the clinic buildings.
I think at this point in time that the rural healthcare district is not stable enough to stand on their own 2 feet, and until we can prove that, we are going to have to ask the county for extra help. Previously, it used to stand by itself, and it showed that it didn't work that way. So I do feel like right now we are dependent on the county, and if we can get things kind of turned around and go back on our own feet, I think it would be wonderful. The county commissioners does not need the extra burden of all of this. So in my opinion, I think at the time being, we do have to depend on the county commissioners for their help, but hopefully we can get dependent.
Thank you, Mandy. That was Mandy Norris. I was trying to absorb all of the things that everyone said. Brent, you're next, and I think you get that first question that Mandy had. Would you like to I think you know what the question is. Do you, Brent?
Yes. One of the things I'd like to do is just iterate. I feel just like the other candidates. I feel that the upper administration of our health care needs to live in our county and address everything that goes on in our county. If they're in the churches, they're going to hear about what's wrong. If they're at the grocery store, they're going to hear about what's wrong. And besides that, he makes a pretty good salary, and he takes it all back over to Idaho and spends it over there. I think I'd rather him spend it right here in our county. So, and that's just my feeling behind it, but I can only speak for myself and the other 100 people in the part of the county that has told me the same thing. So another reason why I'm running, as far as, you know, she brought up just a huge point. It seems like about before 3.5 years ago, we seemed to do just fine. And now all of a sudden, we turned everything over to administrators, and we can't make a budget work. There's something wrong with that picture. Maybe the county rural health board needs to step up and take a little bit of grasp again and quit sitting back and letting somebody else do all the work, especially when it's not working. And that's where we're looking at it. So I think that we need to get in there and find out what's going on, get to the bottom of it, and let's get it working for us again. And that's why I'm running for this position. I'm not here to play politics. I am by no means a politician, but something's wrong here, and it needs to be straightened out.
Thank you, Brent. Shannon? Shannon Cave will be speaking next. And I think it's time for a new question.
Oh, boy. Okay. This has also come in from a couple different places. What can be done to improve accessibility to health care here? And I'm going to expand that a little bit to say make it more of a regularly visited destination for locals. Make them more comfortable about going to the clinic. How can that be improved?
Well,
I think there needs to be a review of the people that are working at the clinic in the reception area. For one, I am not sure who does the hiring of that area, whether it's the board or the administration. I believe that when a person comes in with a medical problem, they should at least be talked to by a medical professional to assess either they are deemed an emergency or maybe they just have a common cold, and I think it should be medical personnel that addresses the need of the patient. I think if you had maybe a receptionist can be fine if they are trained in a medical field. I think that could be helpful, but it's something that should be looked into, and I believe everybody should have access to see the doctor that they want to see. And hopefully we keep them and people can build a bond with the incoming doctors. I'm good to go.
Thank you, Shannon. That was Shannon Cave answering that question. We're moving back to the other end of the table now to Donnie.
I have heard in talking to people, and I've been all over the county, and talking to people about the issues that they and the concerns that they have, and one of them seems to be problems with getting appointments. And I'm not sure why that is. Another thing that would maybe needs to be looked into. One of the current committees within the board is patient satisfaction, and if there are concerns and patients are not satisfied, we need to know about that and we need to address it right away. There are other committees within the within the board that are that are made up of a board member, I believe a physician, and community members also that are concerned with ensuring that everyone gets the care that they need, sees the doctor that they need to, if they need to be sent to a specialist that they're able to do that. As far as improving access, the clinics are open all day and half a day on Saturday, all day during the week. We have an excellent EMS that sends ambulances out if they need that kind of emergency care to get them into the clinic or wherever they need to go in a very short period of time. So there are some issues that we're concerned about with access to the care that they're needed, and that needs to be researched, and we'll look into that. But we need to know what that is, so we need to have people calling us. I'm going to make my phone number available so that people can call me if they want to, and be sure that people know that they could get their questions answered.
The time is up. Thank you, Donnie. That was Donnie Toth. We need to just take a station break for a minute and remind any radio listeners out there that if they have any questions, please email them in to forum@pinedale.com. Thank you. Anybody in the audience who wants to ask a question, raise your hand and someone will supply an index card for you on which you can write the question. Okay, let's continue now. Chris, I think you're up next. This is Chris Rourke.
Yeah.
A new question?
Sorry, I lost my question. Okay. What, if any, changes would you want to make to the EMS in the future if you're elected, and how the EMS operates?
I was closely associated with EMS
retired a year and a half ago from being a PA, having worked at both clinics. EMS is excellent. Their skills are excellent. I think Brent kind of named it. We have a budget shortfall. I'm not quite sure why. EMS is very expensive. We have a good EMS, but we have to kind of look at things and see how we can improve, how we can budget so that possibly it's more efficient in call schedules or whatever. I'm not familiar with how they're doing their call schedules now, and I would really like to poke my nose into their business and see what they're doing and how we can improve that. Otherwise, EMS is one of the best in the state and has been for a long, long time.
Thank you, Chris. Mandy, you're up next.
I would like to go back to the question on how patients can have better access to the clinics. I, for one, was involved in a place with the clinics that I went to the Big Piney Clinic, and I was refused to be seen at the Big Pine, or to the Pinedale Clinic, excuse me. And it was a rather emergent situation, and I was not assessed by a physician. I was told I would have an hour and a half wait to see anybody, and after I waited for a little bit, one of the nurses came out and took me in, and it was supposedly so busy, and they had to actually turn on the light in the ER for me to go in there and be seen. I do not feel like we need to be treated this way as patients. I would like to see that we are accessed and we are seen by a medical personnel and assessed before anybody is turned around, whether you have a high balance or not. It's our county tax money paying for these clinics. I think we have access to them, and people should not be turned away for any circumstances without being reviewed in the first place.
Thank you, Mandy. That was Mandy Norris. Brent Fowler will have a new question, and I believe it's the last question, and will be asked by Joy.
Okay. What role should the Rural Health Care Board take in managing rural health care district employees at the clinic? Should they set policies? Do they have a role?
Well, that's a loaded question. One, the Rural Health Care Board, that was their purpose in life. They kind of set the standards, and then the doctors at each clinic, they had a lead doctor, or I don't know what they called him, but he was actually the lead person at the clinic, and they would take care of the clinics, and they would get back with the board. And it was, now we have a CEO that does that. And now we're back on this issue again. But my understanding is he comes to Pinedale 2 or 3 days a week. He comes to Big Piney 2 or 3 hours a week. So I think that's a huge deal, even amongst the employees. How can somebody help their employees if they're not there? I mean, he goes there, and he didn't even get out of his office to go talk to them. So, and that's from the employees now. He needs to play a bigger role if he wants synergy between the two. On the other part of another question that was asked on trusting the clinics, I'm right there with it. The horror stories that are out there about people being turned away when they're sick from receptionists to determine whether or not it's an emergency or not. Would you think that a baby that has 103.5 fever is just a turn-away type deal? It happened in our clinic, in our town. That should not happen. You know, the woman went home in tears. And you can't blame her. It's the only medical health that we have. Something needs to be done there. Something is not being run right. Either somebody's telling them, if there's no appointments, you got to turn them away. But in this case, I would think 103.5 fever is probably cased as an emergency. And that's my feeling behind it. And it's not the only one. There's more stories out there just like that. So something needs to change. That's why I'm running.
Thank you, Brent. Brent Fowler answered that question. We're moving to Shannon Cave right now. Shannon, do you want to take that one?
Yes. I'm trying to not sound redundant, but I believe the problem starts with CEO, and if that is removed, I believe everything else will fall into place. The high balance policy will be dealt with to where it's equitable for people, and the clinic can collect their money. I don't believe anybody should be turned away from health care, regardless of if you're just sick or you fell and broke your hip. I just, like I said, I'm not trying to be redundant, but I believe the problem is where I stated. We remove it, big problem taken care of.
Thank you, Shannon. Again, that was Shannon Cave. I think that concludes our questions by, am I correct about that, Megan?
Yeah, that concludes our questions, but now each one gets dirt.
Yeah. You will each be given 2 minutes for a closing statement, and we're going to reverse order a little bit. Shannon, you get to go first. The first to give the closing statement.
I don't really have a lot more to add than what the questions have been. I've been a longtime resident. I am not a medical professional. I have had to be on the receiving end quite often, so I have experience on how I have been treated or not treated. I would just like the opportunity to help the people here through all of Sublette County, not just Marbleton Big Piney Clinic, but the Pinedale one as well. I just would like to encourage people, regardless of how you vote, please vote. It counts.
Thank you, Shannon. That was Shannon Cave. Brent Fowler is going to give a closing statement right now.
Yes. One, I'd like to thank our sponsors, of course, Kay Pine, Bob Rule. That we wouldn't be getting our voices out there if it wasn't for you. Two, both of our newspapers that we have, Sublette, Examiner, and Pinedale Roundup. Again, without them, we wouldn't be having this forum and wouldn't be able to put forth how we feel about what's going on. One of the subjects that was brought up was kind of the budget again, and I'd like to bring up something real quick. You know, with Obamacare, there's a lot of things that our clinics must have to do now. We've got to go to electronic everything. The written records are going away. This was started about 12 months, 14 months ago that we could have been started on this. Now, all of a sudden, we're in a mad rush to get it done, get part of it done by the end of the year. And, of course, confusion, it causes confusion. So it's a highly complicated system that, from what I've been told. It's not going to be easy to learn. All the staff have to learn it. Why are we starting now? Why didn't we start 12 months ago? Okay, what's taking so long to make these decisions? The other thing is the federal government will give them money as they go along with this. They're so far behind, they're losing out on the federal money, too. But are we really worried about budget? If we can get free money from somewhere, why aren't we getting that help? Hey, there's just a lot of things that we need to be looking at that I don't feel are being looked at all. So I am Brent Fowler. I am a concerned citizen, and I'm here for your vote. I want to get in there, and I want to change things. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brent. Brent Fowler. Mandy Norris will begin her closing statement.
I just would like to let all of the members of Sublette County know that I have been in the Pinedale Medical Clinic, or I was in the Pinedale Medical Clinic for over 20 years. I'm a lifetime resident of this county, and I'm very concerned with the issues going on with the Rural Health Board. Now, I have worked at the clinic. I know the ins and outs of the billing, the insurances, and the patient care. I feel like I'm a very qualified citizen for this board, and I really would like to get the community involved and have them come to us with all of their issues. After people realize that you're running, everybody runs to you with all their concerns and issues and everything. But, you know, I attended the last board meeting, and there wasn't anybody from the community there to ask questions or anything. So I would really like to get the community involved, get them out. We need to hear the questions. Maybe we can come up with some answers for everybody and make this thing run a lot smoother. Thank you all, and I appreciate all the support from everybody.
Thank you, Mandy Norris. Chris Rook, would you like to do your closing statement?
I would. Well said, Mandy. I'm Chris Rourke. I'm a physician assistant, retired, worked 20 years in the county. I know the people in both ends of the county believe that everybody is entitled to fair treatment. The North is no more privileged than the South, and vice versa. We have two wonderful clinics. The facilities are fabulous. I know what it takes to work in the clinic, and I have some sympathy for the staff. We do need to have some policies concerning staff members. Fairness to the staff members as well as fairness to the public if the staff member is not courteous, professional, and all of the things that you expect of them. And I hope that we establish some policies, and I will propose that and push for it, that you are treated with courtesy, dignity, and respect. That's how I hope that I've always treated all of my patients. If any of you know me, I don't have too awful many enemies, I hope. And if I'm elected, I certainly will try to poke my nose into everything, not take anyone's word for anything, and rubber stamp anything. I'm going to be looking at the budget. I'm going to be looking at how people are behaving in the clinic, how professional they are, and hopefully we will have two excellent clinics that people are very happy with. I hate seeing people go out of county to get their medical care because these are our clinics and they should run as we want them to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Rourke, closing statement. Donnie Toth is last to give her closing statement. Donnie?
I'd like to thank you all for coming and becoming informed voters. That's so important for us. That you know the issues that you're voting on, and thanks to all our media for hosting this event too. One of the things that I think we need to do, and the question had come up about the county, I think we need to work more closely with the county, have some mutual meetings perhaps. The district pays $100,000 a year to the county for the rent of the clinics and the ambulance barns. And maybe we could talk about that a little bit. It really is a boon to our county. It supports our citizens, and not only the people that live here in the counties, but we have a lot of visitors that come in the winter to ski and snowmobile and those kinds of things, and in the summertime to enjoy all the amenities that we have, and we have to be aware that we're serving them also. So I'd like to work more closely with the county commission. I'd like to also see an increase in partnership with other agencies and other healthcare facilities within the county, with home care, home health, just lost my train of thought, with public health and the other agencies with which we work to provide total health to the county. Our strategic plan is one for 3 years, so that's going to be coming up during the term of whoever is elected, and we're going to be having to look at it, at a strategic plan, and revising that and updating it also. So there are going to be a lot of things. The EMR, the emergency medical...
Donnie, your time is up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie. I'm sorry to cut you off, but the rules are the rules, you know. Once again, I'm only the messenger. I would like to thank all of you for taking the time to prepare yourselves and to offer your thoughts and suggestions. I wish you all the best of luck. And that concludes the rural health care portion of our program. We are going to take a break at this time. Bob's got to check in with the radio. So. I, too, would like to thank the Pinedale Examiner, or the Sublet Examiner, excuse me, the Roundup, Pinedale Online, and K-Pine for providing us all with this opportunity to listen to what you have to say. It's been helpful. Thank you. Oh, and also I want to say thank you to the Senior Center here. Joan Mitchell has provided all of the cookies and refreshments, and I would like to thank her for that. And for having the building ready for us to go. Thank you all. And if you'll just give us now about a 10-minute break, we're going to change hats, and we will be listening to the county commissioner candidates. Thank you.
You're listening to KPIN Radio, and we are coming to you live. We're coming to you live here on KPIN Pinedale. From the Senior Center in Marbleton, Wyoming. Right now we're going to go through a transition as the Rural Healthcare District candidates vacate the head table and the county commissioners take their seats at the head table. Just a reminder of what we just finished doing was hearing from those who are going to be on the ballot throughout the county. It doesn't matter what precinct you're in the county, everybody will be voting for these people. You'll be voting for two. And the candidates who have the highest votes will be the winners. So the top two vote-getters will be the winners of these. Again, I'm just looking at one of the sample ballots. Shannon Cave, Brent Fowler, Mandy Norris, Kristen Rourke, and Donnie Toth being the five candidates running for health care district. And two of those five will be elected. Again, you will be voting for two. The top two will be the winners. Now, on county commissioner, we have three people that will be taking the stage here shortly. One is the Republican nominee for county commissioner who won the Republican primary. That is Jim Latta, the Republican nominee. The Democratic nominee will be Courtney Skinner. And there is a bona fide write-in campaign underway for current County Commissioner John Lynn, who is seeking votes as a write-in. Now, I am an electrical engineer. I'm a college graduate electrical engineer, and I'm just pretending to be a journalist. But from what I've learned over the years through the professional journalist is that the standard procedure in journalism is that if a candidate is running a bona fide, serious write-in campaign, they are typically included in news stories, forums, debates, and things like that. And I think there's no question that John Lynn is running a bona fide campaign, and so he was invited to be at the forum. So three people will be joining us shortly for county commissioner. Again, that's James Latta, Republican nominee, Courtney Skinner, the Democratic nominee, and John Lynn, who, although he is a Republican, he is not the Republican nominee. He is a write-in candidate for the office of county commissioner. Now, just taking a look at the ballot, I know some people are asking the question, what about all of these amendments? And the big question comes with Amendment A. Let me read it to you. It says, the adoption of this amendment will provide that the right to make health care decisions is reserved to the citizens of the state of Wyoming. It permits any person to pay and any health care provider to receive direct payment for services. The amendment permits the legislature to place reasonable and necessary restrictions on health care consistent with the the purposes of the Wyoming Constitution and provides that the state shall act to preserve those rights from undue government infringement. And the question is, are you for that or are you against it? Now, if you just skip over it, don't vote one way or the other, you have voted no. In all the other cases, if you skip one of the races, well, then, you know, you're letting the other people decide. But in this case, if you skip these amendments, it's the same thing as voting against the amendment. So I think it is important that everybody study these and learn more about them. If you go to pinedaleonline.com and go up to the upper right corner where Don has this little pink box, you can find that you can click on the amendment, get some more information, and she's going to be adding some additional information. So give her two or three more days. And what Don's goal on that is to have both the pro and the con arguments on Amendment A, because this is one that a lot of people are very, very confused about as to whether or not they should vote yes or no on Amendment A. Basically, it does involve what is commonly called Obamacare, and I tell you, this is not a conservative liberal thing. People on both ends of the political spectrum have got opposing views as to whether we should or should not pass this. The best thing I think that we can do, again, is to try to post as many of these views as possible on PineDealOnline.com, which Don is going to seek to do, and let you read the arguments on both sides of this issue to help you make up your mind after seeing both sides of the issue. Now, Constitutional Amendment B reads, "The adoption of this amendment will recognize and preserve the heritage of Wyoming citizens' opportunity to fish, hunt, and trap wildlife subject to regulation as prescribed by law." Now, I think this possibly is in response to fear of either the federal government or something like the United Nations coming in and trying to tell us what we can or cannot do with our wildlife. And this one does not seem to be particularly controversial, but that's Amendment B. Amendment C, the adoption of this amendment would expand the authority of district court commissioners. If the amendment is adopted, the district court commissioner could perform additional duties assigned by a district court judge subject to any restrictions the legislature may impose by law. And this one, as I understand it, has to do with the fact that sometimes a given judge is unable due to a conflict in the schedule to perform his duty as judge and is seeking to allow a different person to come in his place. Again, we'll see if we can get some more information on that to go over the details on that. But the big one that is most controversy of all remains that Amendment A. And so on Amendment A, we will certainly try to get some opinions both ways and have Don Ballou post those on her website. Now, I mentioned earlier this is the second of two forums for the general election that have been conducted jointly by the news media, conducted by the Pinedale Roundup, the Sublet Examiner, PinedaleOnline.com, and KPIN Radio. The first one was held last week on Tuesday in Pinedale in the Lovett Room of the library, and that was for the school board candidates and also for the state legislature candidates in House District 22. Now, you might be asking, what about the other House District? Well, Albert Summers is uncontested. There's no Democrat on the ballot. He is running unopposed. And what we're basically doing in these forums is we are not bringing in the unopposed candidates. Just for a matter of time is what it is. We don't have a tremendous amount of time to do these, so we're trying to bring in the candidates who have competition. Here's another example. School District number 9 has 3 seats up for election and 3 candidates have filed. Well, with 3 seats up for election and 3 candidates filed, there's really no contest in that one. But we did bring in the school district up in Pinedale last week because that one is a contested race, and we wanted to be able to let people hear from those school district candidates. Now, if you missed that and you want to hear it, that is posted on PinedaleOnline.com. It's just simply a matter of going to www.pinedaleonline.com and taking a look at the upper right-hand corner where there's a pink box, and you can click and hear the recording. Another place the recording is available is on the school district website. That's www.pinedaleschools.org, pinedaleschools.org. Now, that one is just school board only, so if you're interested in just the school board, that might be a little quicker because you can go there and go right straight to the school board without having to first go through the House District 22 candidates. Now, remember, House District 22 is the Bondurant and Daniel precincts, along with some precincts outside of Sublette County. The bulk of Sublette County will be represented by Albert Summers, again, unopposed, and no question, really, about the fact that he should be elected here in the general election. All of this, of course, is on the ballot for the 6th of November. Polls are open from 7 o'clock a.m. until 7 o'clock p.m., and if you do not know your polling place, the best thing to do is don't wait till election day. During business hours, call the county clerk's office here in Pinedale. Call the county clerk's office in Pinedale, and they can help you figure out where your voting place is. For most people, though, the people in Pinedale, their polling place is, I'm told I'm not supposed to say the old elementary school. I'm supposed to say the BOCES building, but I realize if I say the BOCES building, people are going to probably wonder what I'm talking about. So it's now called the BOCES building. You probably know it as the old elementary school, but for the people in the Pinedale precinct and the Pinedale West precinct, that is where the voting will be taking place. Now, for other precincts, we're getting ready to start here, so I don't want to go over all of them. We need to get back on here. Betty Fear is our moderator. She's calling the session back together. Again, you're listening to KPIN Pinedale, and we are about to start the county commissioner portion of our forum. Let's turn it over to Betty Fear.
Can we have everybody seated, please? Again, let me remind you, if you've had your cell phones turned on, please turn them off at this time. We are ready to begin the county commissioner portion of this forum. Again, I'm reminding you that this is a forum, not a debate. The commissioner candidates will be asked three questions each, and we won't have to figure out who gets to answer what question when. It's going to be just a straight and forward question and answer. Three questions. At the end, you will be given 2 minutes each for your closing statements. So, okay, I think we're ready to start then. We have Sita John Lynn, Courtney Skinner, and Jim Latta. Andrew Setterholm will be asking the questions for the examiner. Who's asking the questions? Megan? Megan Neera is asking the questions for the roundup. And let me remind you again, if you have any questions you would like to submit, put them on a card and hand them off. Or if you're out there in the listening audience, please send an email and do it as quickly as possible and address it to forum@pinedale.com. We will be able to obtain those questions immediately. So please participate if you can. Okay, I think we're ready to start. And Megan Neera will take the first question. And who are we? Okay, we'll start with John Lynn.
Okay.
We'll take the first question. John Lynn will be answering this question.
Okay. This is sometimes louder than I think it's going to be. This question is going to be about budget issues, and with the natural gas prices going down, I think most people are expecting that there will have to be a reduction in the budget in the upcoming years. And so I guess the question is, what would the process be for determining what aspects of the county can and should be cut?
Hello. Well, thanks for having me tonight. So there's several things about the budget that that could be adjusted. We've spent a lot of money in the last 8 years since I've been a commissioner upgrading all the different equipment that we have, whether it's road and bridge, maintenance crew is dealing with pretty much new equipment. Our cop cars have been replaced every other year. We're in a pretty good position to be able to not have to buy road and bridge equipment. We've been working on our county roads. Our county roads are in the best shape we could ever imagine. When Horse Creek and Calpet are done, we've basically fixed up all major roads that we have in Sublette County. There are other roads that could probably use some additional maintenance, possibly Pole Creek. 40 rod will need a chip seal, those sort of things. But the major expenditures that we have are probably over. Now, there are lots and lots of projects coming to the table. That's not necessarily saying that we're going to fund them. But, you know, our revenues have exceeded our expenditures for many, many years. In fact, since I've been a commissioner, it's interesting to note that we've put the headlines in our State of the County report. It's in draft form right now, but it will be out in a couple of weeks. It says in big, bold letters on the top of our fourth sheet, I think it is, and it says, funding for the future, nearly $130 million in reserves. And that's in the beginning of the year, the beginning of our fiscal year for 2012-2013. Now, the state has projected our revenues for $70.5 million. Then our expenses, Mary Langford, as our clerk, has stated in that county report that we're spending $3.4 million a month. That equates to about $40 million a year. So our excess revenue for this year could be as high as $30 million.
Thank you. That was John Lynn who answered that question. Courtney, this is Courtney Skinner answering the same question, I believe.
Thank you, Betty, with the same question. I think it was Somerset Maugham that wrote, if you lose something of value, you have to find something to replace it in value. Certainly the tax structure and the taxes that we arrive from it will go down. But we also were a county that had other forms of taxes that came in. Our sales tax, our tourism industry, our ranching industry, and these had the taxes. If at all possible, maybe it's time we give back a little bit of the taxes and quit worrying about keeping everything that on the standard that we have at this time and reduce it. And I think maybe from that procedure, we could improve the financial situation and bring it more into being. I know our three industries that we had, the mineral extraction, the oil, and the gas, the tourism industry, our hunting and fishing and the tourism, and very definitely our agriculture. These help support the county. We reduce the budget, maybe can give a tax break out there and go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney. That was Courtney Skinner answering the question. Jim Latta will take the question now.
Does this work? We will not need to make program adjustments if we continue to maintain reasonable reserves. That's just good business management. If our annual revenue doesn't equal the operating budget, we can invade reserves to keep the county running. I favor having several years of operating budget set aside.
Are you finished?
I am.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, second question. Andrew, are you asking that one?
Yes.
First to Jim Latta. We'll reverse the order here.
All right. Senior housing has been one of the biggest issues to face the commissioners recently, and there's a lot more work to be done during the next commissioner's term. How do you plan to approach this topic with regards to special purpose tax, county funding, and scheduling?
I'm very comfortable with the county funding capital, the capital construction phase of replacing the sublet center. The bigger issue is funding the cost of operations and maintenance. Out into the future, after we get the building constructed, I think it's inappropriate to leave that responsibility in the general fund when the revenues in the general fund are so unpredictable. I favor creating a senior housing district, which taxes property owners. People that don't own property aren't subject to that mill levy. Based on the information I've recently gotten from the county assessor, a $200,000 homeowner would pay $9.50 a year to create a half mill levy, which would create about $2.2 million. That's enough money to pay to cover the amount of money we're paying into the sublet center every month, the senior center down here, and the senior center in Pinedale, and have some left over. Appears to me to be a more palatable thing to the voter than a 1 cent sales tax on a SPET tax basis. There we create a large sum of money, take about $50 million at 5% to create a similar amount of revenue on an annual basis. And if somebody buys a $20,000 car, they pay another penny. That's $200. $9.50 into 200 runs about 20 years of time. So looks like that one makes a lot more sense to me. And I think that if we have $50 million set aside for a single issue, that will come into the gun sights of everybody that has a project, and it won't last very long. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. That was Jim Latta. See, Courtney, you're always going to be in the middle, aren't you?
I kind of like that.
Courtney,
I can either refute or dispute or affirm.
Courtney Skinner will answer the same question.
It's being in that bracket of the seniors, it certainly has a strong and a concern not only of mine, our family, our residents, all of Sublette County. I think some of this funding can certainly come from the care and the facility itself. We talk about all of the money going in, but we never at this stage say where does the money come from in regards to the patients and the residents of the senior center. I think lots more study and lots more before monies are committed and before construction is committed, and a roundabout robin of everything, not letting necessarily the architects dictate what they want and there. How about the residents and their input? How about the other residents that are looking forward to it? How about the children of the seniors that are starting to use the facilities? So I think a lot of study to make it fun, to make it work, but to not rush into it in regards to the commitment that the county has to make.
That was Courtney giving an answer to the question concerning the sublet center, or the sublet the sublet center and the senior housing in Big Piney Marbleton. John, would you like to answer that question?
No. Sure. The commission at this point has set aside $29 million in response to our understanding that the excess revenue would be somewhere around $30 million. That that money isn't necessarily all for just the sublet center, but it is for the senior housing projects and other building projects. It's my vision that we, in fact, do spend money out of the reserves, and it looks to me it's very plain that we would still have $130 million in the reserves unless we come up with some unexpected problem that we have to deal with, and we'd have to take money from that reserve. At this point, the excess revenue, I believe, will build the sublet center and the senior housing. Now, the architects, the contractor, the sublet center board, all the investigations so far have been very reassuring that the efficiencies gained, one, by the new style of medical facility will allow them to use fewer people for help, that they'll have lower expenses as far as their heat and light bill because the old facility is so drafty. The new senior housing in Marbleton will complement things very well because that's the paying side of the sublet center. We're going to have more units. They're going to be more efficient. And believe it, I believe that that will help carry us through this shortfall that we may have on the operation and maintenance side. Now, I'm fine with advocating for a 1 cent sales tax. It seems that both ends of the county, particularly Marbleton and Big Piney, have stepped up and gave their endorsement of that philosophy. The real service, or real, actually it's called the Senior Service District that Jim Latta mentioned,
it has to be voted on every year, so it's going to be a tough deal to sell that way.
Thank you, John. John Lynn just answered that question. I believe now we're ready for Courtney. Have you? Not, yes, you answered that too. New question.
Okay, so on a more sort of general note, what would you see beyond senior housing, which seems to be a much more short-term issue that the county is facing, in the longer term, looking 5 to 10 years down the road, what would you see as some of the larger issues facing Sublette County, and as a commissioner, as part of that team, how would you go about addressing those?
Well, you hit a nail on the head for the long term and looking down the road and the advanced planning. I think that is a little bit that is lax in the commission. It's in the county in that a plan that looks 10, 15 years down the road. Now that they're finishing up some of the projects and the road and bridge and the roads and these things, the equipment purchases and that, certainly I see the development, again, of the mineral industry as coming back at a stage which may place more of that in. I see, if I had the genie down there, I see the number one problem, and that we are going to be faced with is our other resources, not the oil and gas, our lands, our water, our forest, our environmental ones. I know up on the hill they're just called to be a radical environmentalist, but I see those problems in our future must be addressed sooner than later. And because I work in it, water is our liquid gold. That is our future here in the arid west, not just in Sublette County, but across the state, and it's a sort of a matter of we have to use it or lose it.
Thank you, Courtney. Jim, do you want to take that one? Jim Lai will give his answer now.
So the question, broader issues way out into the future. Obviously, funding is always going to be number one. That's our lifeblood, is having enough money to provide the services and address the health and welfare of the citizens of our county. To maintain that all the things that we've done with the good fortune we've had in the last several years, roads and structures, we have a large road and bridge department, and they're busy. They'll continue to be that way. We have a significant building maintenance department, and they could use more staff after the building construction that we've gone through. So the question, will we have enough in the future to manage our revenue well, encourage alternative sources, and be agile in management? We may also face increasing revenue if things happen with helium, if gas comes back, and that adds a completely different set of questions that we'll have to address. So agility in managing the county is very important. Big Piney Marbleton people of any community in the state should understand clearly the frustrations that we can encounter dealing with the oil and gas industry. It's a very unpredictable business. So the next one would be public lands. I think the federal government continues to encroach on our rights as citizens relative to public lands, and I think it's very important to work closely with those agencies. I have a close association with the governor and his chief of staff after having been the chairman of the Transportation Commission, and I think that will help me in trying to work closely with the governor's office and the state legislature to try and address those issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. John, it's your turn again. John Lynn will be answering the next question, or the question.
Well, there's a lot of issues that are going to come up in the future. We hope to play a real strong and active part in the forest plan revision that will happen someday here soon. Along with that will be transportation planning on the forest. Now, there are many active interests out there that are pushing to close access, particular roads, that they call user-created. Those roads are going to be looked at really strongly. The forest plan has other article or parts of it that are really, I think, in the best interest of Sublette County to be at the table and to help take care of, and that would be our forest management as far as the timber. You can all remember the forest fire we had, or the forest fires we had all summer, and managing the forest by just not managing it is just not an option for, as far as I'm concerned. Transportation planning is going to be a big deal in the future. Besides the forest plan, the BLM is actively trying to shut off roads. They're trying to make it harder and harder for people to recreate out there, and particularly OHVs. I don't know if anybody knows this, but you can't take an OHV off of a two-track road in Sublette County. At this point in time, it's illegal, and you'll get a ticket. Now, when we talk about transportation planning and how it relates to the county, we have a big project in the south end of the county, and it's called the Normally Pressured Lance. It's an Encana project, and we need to be actively involved in that because we didn't have much involvement in the planning on the Jonah patch, and we ended up with big double tankers hauling condensate on Wyoming 351 going through Big Piney, mixing with school buses on slick roads, and we could have well had a road straight from the Encana Jonah field right straight to LaBarge and been able to bypass all those dangerous places. So I think being involved in that in the very beginning is really going to make a lot of difference, and we're working very hard on that.
Thank you, John. I keep thinking, is this on? That was John answering that question for those of you who are listening on the radio. We are ready now for our last question. I guess we'll reverse the order this time. Okay, Jim, would you take this question first then, please? Jim Latta, this is the last question, and after these questions are finished, you will all have time to give a closing statement. That time we'll start with John with the closing statements and work back down to the other end of the table. Okay, this question is for you first, Jim.
Mr. Lynn, you just hit on one of the upcoming natural resource issues with the NPL field. Another one that's coming up for the county is the proposed Denbury sour gas treatment plant in Big Piney, I believe. How should the county approach proposed natural resource expansion with regards to the county's aesthetic and environmental qualities?
Well, as I said earlier, Big Piney Marbleton, as a community, has more experience dealing with those issues than most any other community in the state, probably. Mayor Smith said when we first talked about Denbury, you know, we understand what's going on out there. All of us make our living in that industry. So the county's position, I think, is to support Big Piney Marbleton in dealing with the issue of having a sour gas treating facility close to the community. Obviously, the site that was originally proposed is too close for anybody in Big Piney and Marbleton. I think the county plays a support role there primarily in communicating and collaborating with the communities of Big Piney and Marbleton.
Thank you, Jim. That was Jim Latta. Courtney Skinner will answer this question now. Courtney?
Cautiously. 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 We have some good neighbors in the oil and gas industry, the Encanas and that, and have been a lot into the community. They have contributed to this community, not only jobs and such. I question a little bit on Danbury's. Where they come from, who they are. All of a sudden, we have seen changes up on the hill, on the Riley Ridge and up on top there, of wanting more land, part of the state land. But we never answered a lot of the questions and ifs. Are they good neighbors? Are they out to take away our water, our rights, our health, our industry and such? I don't know. Those are answers that have to be gone. So occasionally we have good neighbors, but again, cautiously, with all of the input we can possibly get, all of the questions that can be asked, not only from the residents, from the science community, from any concern that may come in, then I think we can find the answer to the Danbury and their expansion.
Thank you, Courtney. That was Courtney Skinner. John Lynn will answer the question now. John?
Well, we don't know where these projects are going to come from next. There's a lot of technology that has changed in the last 20 years that made the Jonah viable. Same way with the Pine Del Anticline. They drilled that first discovery well in the Pine Del Anticline in 1979, a few wells in north or south of Pinedale, even earlier than that. But the economics weren't there for the fields to be viable. The same is happening with the northern normally pressured lands for Encana. The Denbury is a fairly new way of operating the H2S type plants. We need to figure out ways to accommodate these, but then still do them with insensible ways. We've dealt with the ozone issue from the Pine Del Anticline and the Jonah field, and it's caused a lot of people a lot of trouble and a lot of grief. And we need to understand how we can get to a better place with that, and we do that through the NEPA process. Before I became a commissioner, I didn't really understand a whole lot about the NEPA process, but, you know, that's the biggest thing that we deal with these days, is commenting on the NEPA documents, national environmental policy documents, and every project that happens on federal ground will have a NEPA document. They're becoming more and more burdensome, more and more people are commenting, more and more people are trying to affect our lives here in Sublette County. Now, this Denbury plant is in the wrong, at least they staked it in the wrong spot. We can't have a concentration plant that has a 6-mile kill radius within 2 miles of Big Piney. Now, we could probably push this thing right out of Sublette County and into Lincoln County or Sweetwater County, but you know what? We would be producing the minerals from our county regardless and not receiving the tax revenue. So I'm not so sure that's a smart thing to do. But we need to just be active on all of these and stay vigilant.
Thank you, John. That concludes the questions for the commissioners. Unless there are some that have been gathered from the audience or from email.
We've decided to do this on time, and if people have questions that they further want to ask, the candidates have agreed to make themselves available afterwards for specific questions. We wanted to make sure everybody had that time to talk with candidates.
Thank you, Megan. At this point, then, I will guess we will start with the closing statements, and I believe you're each given 2 minutes. Can you say everything you need to say in 2 minutes? Good. John, we'll start with you. You get the lead. This is John Lynn giving his closing statement.
Thanks to all the media for accommodating this forum, and I thank you for allowing me to be here to speak with you tonight. I've always considered the commissioner job a full-time position, and I work hard to understand the issues that face our county today. I've been to the School of Hard Knocks and graduated, and I've been a self-employed businessman here in Sublette County for 35 years, responsible for my family and the employees who worked alongside me. Not one person succeeded in this county by being timid. Hard work always pays off, and as I often say to my kids, you're never going to get into trouble if you work hard. I often look at projects from a business point of view, weighing and questioning the costs and trying to get the best job for the money. I promote using local contractors for our county jobs. They have their reputation on their finished product and take pride in it after completion. I believe and defend multiple use and access to state and federal lands. This includes our recreation of those lands and from scenic drives to snowmobiling. An industry who must comply to agencies' requirements to use those lands, including mineral, logging, outfitting, and grazing. I feel that if you kick the strongest leg of multiple use out from under it, the rest will soon follow. I will continue to fight to see our public lands managed in ways that won't restrict our access or our way of life. I will continue to explore new ideas to make our county government more efficient and more accountable. I pride myself on being available to talk and listen to your concerns. I always am interested in your ideas. There's not enough time allowed to speak in depth about all the issues that we faced in our county today, but I'm always willing to answer your questions at a later time. My name is not on the ballot, but it will be if you fill in the oval and write in my name. It is and has been my honor and privilege to work alongside you, and I promise to continue to work hard. Sublette County is a great place to work, raise families, grow old, and in the place we call home.
Thank you, John. That was John Lynn's closing statement. Courtney, would you like to give yours now? Courtney Skinner will continue.
Thank you, Press, and thank you, the Rural Health Care Board, for that. Are you sure you don't wish to run for county commissioners? Because you answered a great many problems. You met and you discussed, and you had an open forum here tonight that brought out the problems. This county commissioner race, and it's not my first one. I feel like I'm a resident up on the podium running for county commissioner. And that. But one of the things that, again, came out in this forum, as in its confusion over the race, we heard taxes tonight. Again, taxes, taxes, taxes increasing. And I do believe they can be thrown, reduced or somewhere, or at least some relief form that could come back to the residents and, of this great county. In a summation, there are many problems it faces. Some of them are coming up critical. I believe in the experience. There are a few things I haven't done. But I've been very fortunate. In the last few years, I have been able to wander and go across this great county, talk to the people, be out in the homestead land and my boots on the ground, hearing their concerns and such. And I notice in my competitors, as I drive down the road, many of them fail to say Sublette County. And Sublette County is my passion, and I want to serve you well.
Thank you, Courtney. Jim, would you like, that was Courtney Skinner for the listeners out there. Jim Latta will be giving the last closing statement, and when he is finished, there will not be any further questions. So go ahead, Jim.
I'm the Republican primary winner and thereby the Republican candidate in the general election. My platform was laid in May when I first declared my candidacy, and it remains the same. I'm running because I think my experience and education can aid Sublette County in sustaining a viable future. Issues that are important to me include a quality road system, because roads serve commerce, and commerce is our lifeline. Care for the old and the young, the people that can't care for themselves, deserve the address of tax dollars. Maintaining a positive relationship with federal agencies and promoting multiple use of public lands. Responsible budgets to assure a sustainable future. Continuing the effort toward tax relief for individual homeowners. Promoting tourism and recreation to help diversify our county. I will represent all of Sublette County. As I've said before, I'll hold office hours monthly in Pinedale and Big Piney Marbleton. I'll create an advisory group in both ends of the county to help keep me abreast of the current issues. I think my credentials put me in a solid position to serve this county. I have no personal agenda. I don't do any business with the county. I have no relationship with the county other than that as a taxpayer citizen. I have a good relationship with the two seated county commissioners and the balance of the elected officials. Please check out my website, jimlattaforcommissioner.com. It would be my privilege to serve as your county commissioner. I will appreciate your consideration at the polls. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. That was Jim Latta who gave the closing statement. Before we kind of disperse here, I would just like to say to everyone, thank you for coming. But most importantly, I want to just say how important it is to cast your ballot on Tuesday, a week from today. That is a privilege we have in this country, and it is very, very important that we use it. I think our voting record in our county is not very good, and I would like to see that improve this year. We have several important races before us that will determine where we are going in our future. So please take the time to go to the polls and take your neighbor with you and vote on Tuesday, November 6th. Before we go leave this, I would like to again thank the Pinedale Roundup, the Sublet Examiner, Pinedale Online, and K-Pine Radio, Bob Rule and Pinedale, for providing us with this opportunity. The candidates will be here for refreshments and hopefully to answer any further questions you have. Again, thanks for taking time to come to this very important event tonight. Thank you.
We have just concluded the second of two candidate forums. When she said here, when Betty Fair said here, for those of you who may have tuned in late in the broadcast, you may not know where here is. Here is the senior center in Marbleton, the new senior center. If you head out towards the bowling alley and the movie theater in Marbleton, just before you get to the movie theater and bowling alley, you come to the senior center. It's probably all lit up. There's cars out in front. This is the time to meet one-on-one with the candidates. The candidates should be here for a little while. If you've been listening on the Big Piney Marbleton area on the radio, it'd just be a few minutes to drive over here and speak with these candidates one-on-one. Gives you a chance to talk to the candidates, ask them your specific question, and help you make that decision as to who to cast your vote for. Now, if you won't be here next Tuesday, there's always the possibility of voting early up at the county clerk's office in Pinedale. For most people, though, you'll be voting in your polling place. And, of course, this election starts out with the President of the United States. I'm looking at the sample ballot. We've got Mitt Romney, Republican, Barack Obama, Democrat, Gary Johnson, Libertarian, and Virgil Good, Constitution Party, on the ballot. Goes on to U.S. Senator John Barrasso, Republican, Tim Chestnut, Democrat, and Joel Otto, Country Party candidates. And then on United States Congress, or United States Representative, Cynthia Lummis, Republican, Chris Hendrickson, Democrat, Richard Brubaker, Libertarian, Daniel Cummins, Constitution Party, and Don Wills, Country Party. Five different people running for Congress of the United States. For state Senate, Stan Cooper appears to be, there's competition. I correct myself. I was going to say unopposed. No, he is opposed by John Love of the Country Party. So it's Stan Cooper, Republican, John Love of the Country Party on most of our ballots. Now, on some of the ballots further north, it's going to be Dan Dockstader unopposed, depending on where in Sublette County you live. For House District 20, here in most of our county, Albert Summers is running unopposed. However, up in the northern two precincts, Bondurant and Daniel, the race is between Republican candidate Marty Halverson and Independent candidate Bill Winnie. So the best thing to do before you go vote, so you don't get a surprise when you look at the ballot and you see things that you didn't even expect to see, go to PinedaleOnline.com, go to that little red box in the upper right-hand corner, click on the sample ballot, and realize that the ballot is not the same in every precinct. The first page of each ballot, if you look in the lower left corner, this is the page that has President of the United States on it. If you look in the lower left-hand corner, the first one you'll see is Pinedale 1-1. That's Pinedale east of Pine Creek. The next one you see is Pinedale 1-3. That's Pinedale west of Pine Creek. Then it goes on Boulder Precinct 1-4, Big Piney 2-1, Marbleton 2-2. Eventually we get up a little further north. Take a look. Find the ballot that pertains to your particular precinct. Take a look at it so there won't be any surprises when you go to vote. Now, on lodging tax, that is only for people who reside in the town limits of Pinedale. If you're a resident of the town of Pinedale, you don't have to go to a special polling place. Your normal polling place, and for the people in Pinedale, it's, I know I'm not supposed to say the old elementary school. It's now called the Bosse's Building. But if I say Bosse's Building, somebody's going to say, huh? So we'll call it both. Either the Bosse's Building or what used to be the old elementary school. That's where you'll be voting, and if they notice that you live in the town limits of Pinedale, you will be provided with a ballot for the lodging tax. It's a real simple, separate ballot, yes, no, on the lodging tax. But again, if you live in the county outside of the town limits of Pinedale, then you will not be handed that particular ballot. Questions? Try to get hold of the county clerk early. I know they have an awful lot of people calling on Election Day, maybe for the rest of this week. If you don't know where to vote, if you don't know about registration, make that phone call sometime this week and get that cleared up before Election Day. Now, how do you register if you're not registered? Well, Wyoming is somewhat unique that you can register on Election Day. If you're a qualified elector, if you're qualified to vote, go to your polling place and you can register and then turn right around and vote. Bring photo ID with you and you can register and vote. Well, there are still plenty of people here in the Senior Center here in Marbleton. If you want to come by and meet these candidates face-to-face, come on by. They'll be here for a while. I think we're about ready to wrap up our broadcast here on KPIM Pinedale. A thank you, of course, to all the candidates for coming out. A thank you to Betty Fear for being our moderator. And, of course, a thank you to the Sublet Examiner and the Pinedale Roundup and Pinedale Online for helping KPIM Radio sponsor this broadcast. Well, let's see if my wife Karen is in the studio. Karen, are you there in the studio?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
All right.
Thank you.
Karen's there. I'll let Karen close things out, bring you back to music, and I got to pack my bags, come home to Pinedale.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, thanks for listening to that candidate forum in Marbleton. And we're going to go ahead and get back to music here on KPIN Radio.